Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to take them and you can find your place. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter number 1 this morning. Proverbs chapter number 1 this morning. And as we move into the fall months here and some cooler weather and really look at a reset, as it were, and getting over the summer and getting back into a swing of things, I wanted us to also do that with our scripture and our studies here on Sunday mornings. And so this morning, we're going and looking at beginning this new series here in the book of Proverbs, simply titled, The Precepts of Wisdom. The Precepts of Wisdom. And, you know, if there was ever a day in which we lived that wisdom was lacking, if there was ever a day when we desperately needed instruction in wisdom, it's the day and age that we live in now. It's the day and age that we live in right now. And our first message we're going to see comes to us here from Proverbs chapter 1. And you found your place there, and I'd invite you to look. We'll begin reading at verse number 8, and we'll read down through verse number 19. Proverbs chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 8, down through verse number 19. The Bible says this: My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners can entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cease. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. I want you to notice that phrase there in verse number 10, where Solomon says here, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. For a few moments this morning, just like as we get into this series, we'd like to preach us of just a very simple thought, and that is avoiding bad company. Avoiding bad company. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, we thank you now again for this opportunity that we have to come into your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word to see truths that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. Lord, this morning we pray that you would just speak to hearts, and Lord, pray that you'd use me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the message be a help, a challenge, and encouragement to these your people. Lord, just help us to seek to be a people that not only heed wisdom, but Lord, we just portray wisdom as well. Lord, now we just pray you'd speak to hearts this morning. Meet with us in a special and real way. Thank you for each one that has purposed to be here. Be with those that cannot, bring them back safely to us. Now, Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, there's an old saying that says that if you'll show me your friends, that I'll show you your future. And long before, and we live in a day and age today where everything seems to have some sort of a modern psychological, a modern psychology bent to it. And well, long before modern psychology ever talked about peer pressure and social influence and all of those sort of buzzwords, we have recorded for us in Scripture God's warning us that the people that we walk with, the people that we surround ourselves with, can help determine the path that we take, the path that we find ourselves on. Now, we may not like to admit how much people around us influence us, but Scripture repeatedly warns us that companionship often affects conduct. And people influence how we talk, what we laugh at, what we tolerate, where we go, and eventually, whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, eventually what we become. And here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 specifically, Solomon, who by all accounts was the wisest man who ever lived, and Solomon here begins the book of Proverbs by teaching his son one of life's earliest and perhaps most important lessons. And he basically is teaching his son here that you cannot always control who crosses your path, but what you can control is whose path you choose to walk. And the issue that Solomon is dealing with here in our passage this morning is not whether we should ever speak to sinners, right? Because if we tried to live a life where we never spoke to sinners, we would never talk to anybody. We would just be a hermit crab, and we would stay in our house, and we would keep the house closed up, and we would never go out. We would never talk to anybody. We would never visit anybody, because if that was our goal, that is what we would have to do. But that's not what Solomon is trying to teach us here. Because we know Jesus himself was called the friend of sinners. The issue is about not are you talking to them. The issue is who is influencing who. And as Christians, we should be the ones who are influencing a lost and dying world, not the other way around. And you can love everybody, and we should love everybody, but we should love everybody without letting everybody lead you. And that's what Solomon is trying to get across here this morning. And so we're here this morning, and Proverbs opens with Solomon explaining the purpose of the book. And the purpose of the book here is to give wisdom, is to give instruction, is to give understanding, is to give judgment and discretion. And then the first major section of the book, that section we just read, verses 8 through 19, records for us discourses on wisdom in which the student, in which the hearer, the reader is encouraged to consider and to compare the ways of the foolish and the ways of the wise. And then in verse number 8, Solomon addresses his son personally. Notice what he says there in verse number 8. He says there, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And so before warning his son about the wrong crowd, Solomon reminds him to listen to the right voices. And that's a good lesson for all of us this morning, that before we worry about running with the wrong crowd, we need to just worry about, number one, listening to the right voices, listening to the right people. And he says here in verse number 8, he says, "My son, hear." We have here this wise teacher addressing his student. He says here, "My son, hear." In other words, with an ear to obedience. And then comes verse number 10 and the warning in verse number 10. Notice what he says there. Solomon tells his son, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." You notice that Solomon does not say that if sinners attack thee. He does not say if sinners talk to thee. He says, no, he says here, if sinners entice thee. And that's the key. Because the danger of bad company, very often, is not obvious at first. We start hanging with somebody. We think they're our friend. We think they have our best interest in mind. They think that they care about us. And we would go through the fire with them and for them. And we think, man, this person, they get me. And they want what's best for me. And the danger is not obvious at first. They invite you. They persuade you. They make sin sound exciting. They make it sound profitable. They make it sound harmless. They make it sound normal. But Solomon here takes his son beyond that invitation and shows him where the road eventually leads and where the road eventually ends. And so we see here that the way of sinners is attractive. That's what verses 10 through 14 show us. That the way of sinners is attractive. But then verses 15 through 19 shows us that it leads to destruction. You may gain the whole world, but at the end, you lose your soul. In fact, that's what Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, the Bible tells us, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And we need to understand something this morning. There are many voices that are competing for your attention. There are many voices that want you to pay attention to them and do what they want you to do. But wisdom, and that's what Solomon's dealing with here, wisdom teaches us how to recognize those voices and to then take and realize, okay, how, if at all, should we let those voices shape our lives? And in our passage this morning, Solomon gives us, I believe, three principles for avoiding bad company. Three principles for avoiding bad company. The wisdom of Proverbs teaches us that if we are going to avoid the wrong path, and that's the goal this morning, as Christians, we should want to stay on the right path. We should want to avoid the wrong path. And if we're going to stay on that right path, we need to be careful about the voices that we hear. We need to be careful about the invitations that we accept. We need to be careful about the people that we follow. And so there's three thoughts I want to give us this morning. Number one, Solomon tells his son to receive the right instruction. To receive the right instruction. Notice again verses 8 and 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says there, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." And so we see here Solomon, really, for lack of a better term, he begins very positive when you really read this and think about it. Because before he tells his son, you know, and, you know, if you're a parent and you've had a discussion with your kids, you know, maybe you've had that discussion of who to stay away from, who to avoid. And Solomon's eventually going to get here with his son. But before launching into, okay, this is who you stay away from. Well, first Solomon starts out by telling him, well, Here's who you should hear. Here's who you should pay attention to. Here's who you should hang around. And we see here godly parents were and are meant to be voices of wisdom in a young person's life. But more broadly, every Christian, every one of us, we need godly voices in our life. We need pastors, and we need mature believers, and we need faithful friends. But above all of those things, we need the Word of God. We need the Bible. We need the Scriptures. And one of the best protections against the wrong influences of the world is making sure that we are already being grounded in the right instruction. Because again, whether we realize it or not, the world is constantly discipling people. Social media, you get on Facebook or Twitter or TikTok or Snapchat or Truth Social or Threads or any of these social media platforms. And social media is discipling people. Entertainment disciples us. Friends disciple us. The culture disciples us. And the question is not whether you are being influenced, because make no mistake about it, whether you and I want to admit it or not, we are being influenced by what we see. We are being influenced by what we hear. The question is, and the question becomes, well, then who has your ear? And then who has my ear? Proverbs 13:20, the Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." When the right voices instruct us, all of a sudden we become better prepared for the moment when the wrong voices begin inviting us, when the wrong voices begin getting into our ears. And Solomon here makes clear that sooner or later, that invitation will come. It's not a matter of, man, am I ever going to be invited to do wrong? That invitation will come. And Solomon here says to his son, receive the right instruction. But then secondly, he says not only receive the right instruction, but then secondly, he says reject the wrong invitation. Reject the wrong invitation. Notice there verses 10 through 14. Proverbs chapter 1 verses 10 through 14. The Bible says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." Verse number 10 here begins and may be one of the simplest instructions we will find in the entire Bible. Perhaps one of the simplest instructions we'll find in the entire book of Proverbs. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Because we have to realize they say, "Come with us." They promise excitement. They promise belonging. They promise gain. They make wickedness sound adventurous and profitable. And if they make it enticing enough, man, we'll just run headfirst into it. This wasn't necessarily anything wrong or anything sinful, but I remember years ago now, I think I was senior in high school, and I was a senior in high school. It was 2007, December 2007, and most of you know that, I love Batman. And so they were getting ready to have a 5-minute preview. That's all it was going to be, a 5-minute preview of the new Batman movie that was coming out in 2008. Now, unfortunately, they were not showing it anywhere around where we lived there in South Philly. And so one of my friends in high school comes up to me and says, "Hey, are you going to go see and watch the new preview?" And I said, "Oh, I just don't know, where it's playing or, how I would get there because, we didn't drive at that time." And he says, "It's playing at the King of Prussia Mall." And so I started thinking. And I said, "Well, if we took this bus in the center city and get off there and we take the transfer, the bus lets you off right in front of the King of Prussia Mall." And so sure enough, and so that's an easy transfer or an easy trip. And so I remember after school that day, I remember calling my dad. He was at work and asked him and said, "Dad, my friend and I would like to go up to King of Prussia Mall to see the new Batman." And he said, "Are you going to be alone or is someone going to be with you?" And so he asked me the million questions. And so once we satisfied him that we weren't going to be alone and knew what we were doing, he said, "All right, you can go." And so we do that. Well, partway up the King of Prussia, it was back in the time when you didn't have free, phone calls or text messages. And well, my phone died halfway to King of Prussia. So, okay, that's fine. We know where we're going. We know how to get back. But so my phone dies when we get to King of Prussia. And then we come out. We see the 5-minute preview. And we come out after the event. And so we walk across the street to catch our bus. We're waiting there. And the bus comes. And the bus just passes us right by. And if we were going to miss that bus, the next bus, because now it was a little bit later in the evening, the buses at that time, they only ran about every hour or so. And if we would have missed that bus, we would have been in a whole world of hurt because we wouldn't have been getting home till about 11 or so at night. And my dad would have killed me. I would not have been here today. And we flagged down the bus and he stopped and we got on and we get home and we get back in the center city. And then my friend's dad, he was there waiting for us to take us home. And so we didn't have to catch the second bus. And so I say all that to say this. There was excitement. There was adventure. There was something, we were able to go and have an adventure. Now, there was nothing wrong in it. There was nothing wicked in it. It was just something fun and exciting and something that two friends wanted to do. And nothing was wrong with it, but I use that illustration to say this. There will be people who will come to you and say, "Hey, let's go do this. Let's go on this adventure." And it will not be something as innocent as just going to see 5 minutes of a new movie that you're looking forward to. And that's what the sinner does. They make wickedness sound adventurous and profitable. You notice verse number 11 there. The Bible says there in verse number 11, if they say, "Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause." That phrase, "lay wait for blood," that's not a harmless mischief. They're talking about murder here. That word privily means secretly, carrying the idea of planning an ambush. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit." That word grave, it has the idea of the word Sheol, referring to the place of the dead. Psalm 55 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is there, is in their dwelling and among them." And you notice how often in these verses, the language is not just singular, it's plural. You have the word "us" and "we" and are. Why? Because, again, there's tremendous power in the desire to belong. We all have that desire that we want to belong, that we want to be included, that we want to be asked to tag along, so to speak. People will sometimes do in a group what they would never have considered doing alone. That is why wisdom does not tell us to see how close we can get without participating. Wisdom tells us, consent thou not. Temptation may make the invitation, but temptation cannot give your consent. Listen, somebody can come up, they can tempt you all day long. But if you don't give in, then it has no power. Every time, you ever go out to lunch or to dinner somewhere to a restaurant, and after you get done your meal, the server comes to you and says, can I interest you in some dessert? And well, if you're full, despite how tempting the dessert may sound, you're going to refrain and say, no, I'm good, thank you. And no one's going to take that piece of cake and just shove it down your mouth, or that ice cream and just shove it down your mouth. You have to consent to that dessert. The devil can tempt you this morning. The crowd can entice you. The world can pressure you. But you still have to say yes. I still have to say yes. And listen, you do not owe every invitation you get a yes. Just because someone invites you to something does not mean you have to say yes. You do not need everybody's approval. You do not need and do not have to compromise your convictions to keep somebody's friendship. You don't have to do it. Sometimes the most spiritual words you can say when somebody asks you to do something is simply no. No. Now, when we're younger, and one of the first words a kid learns is that word no. But then somewhere along the line when we become adults, we seem to lose the ability to say no. If there was ever a time we need to learn to say no, is when we are being enticed to do that which is wrong. You imagine standing beside a river with a strong current. You may look at that stream and you may say, I'm not going downstream. I'm just going to stand near the edge. But if you step into the current, guess what? The current does not care what your intentions were. And that is the danger of wrong company. That is the danger of keeping bad company. Because we sometimes convince ourselves, I'll go with them, but I won't do what they're doing. I'll go with them, but I won't become like them. We might try to convince ourselves, I know where to draw the line. But eventually, the current just keeps pulling. And Solomon here does not stop with the invitation, because temptation always advertises the beginning, but it hides the ending. And so Solomon here, he pulls back the curtain, and now he shows his son where this path actually leads. And that's what we see thirdly and finally this morning. And we see Solomon telling his son, refuse the wrong direction. Refuse the wrong direction. Notice verses 15 through 19. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. The Bible says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. and they lay wait for their own blood, and they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. There comes a point where wisdom says, do not go there. Their feet are running toward evil. Their path is leading toward destruction. That's what verse 17 teaches us. Surely in vain, in emptiness, the net is spread in the sight of any bird. In other words, if a bird knows enough to avoid an obvious trap, then surely a person ought to at least have that much sense. But again, that's a problem we live in today, and the time we live in. We lack wisdom. We lack common sense. And Solomon's point here is that these sinners are rushing headlong into a trap that they should be wise enough to see, that they should be wise enough to recognize. They believe they are setting a trap for somebody else, but then notice what verse number 18 says, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. The wicked, they ultimately trap themselves. They pursue dishonest gain, but they may not even live to enjoy what they have gained. The phrase there, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof, in verse number 19, carries the idea that greed and ill-gotten gain will ultimately take away the life of those who possess them. They think that they are destroying somebody else, and yet in reality they are actually destroying themselves. Sin always presents the immediate benefit and conceals the ultimate bill. The wrong crowd may appear to be having fun. They may appear to be getting ahead. I liken it to when you're driving and maybe somebody thinks you're going just a little bit too slow, and so they cut around you and get in front of you, and then just a few seconds later you both wind up at the same red light. They didn't get any further ahead than you did. They may laugh at your convictions, but it's wisdom that looks further down the road. And the question is not merely what are they doing today. The question is, where does this road end? Bad company this morning, bad company today, does not only mean the people sitting beside you. It can include the people you follow online, the podcasts that you absorb, the personalities that you admire, the group chats that you participate in, the entertainment that shapes your thinking, the people whose approval you crave. And listen this morning, some of our relationships, yes, they need to be strengthened. And we need to give them our full attention and our full energy. But then some relationships need boundaries. Some relationships, they don't need boundaries. Some relationships, they just need to end. And you need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself this morning, who in my life makes it easier for me to serve God? And then on the opposite end of that spectrum, ask, who consistently pulls me away from Him? And listen this morning, we don't merely need friends who just accept us. We need people who will help us become more like Jesus. And listen, there may be somebody this morning, you're listening, you already know exactly who God has been bringing to mind during this message. And you may have been excusing an influence that you know is hurting your walk with God. Wisdom says, refrain thy foot from their path. Do not wait until that friendship ruins your testimony, damages your family, weakens your faith, or drags you somewhere you never intended to go. Choose your path before someone else chooses it for you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.